Good morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Ryan. I have the joy and privilege of being one of the pastors here at Arrow Heights, also a member of this wonderful church family that we love. You know, we spent the last 4 weeks leading up to Christmas celebrating Advent, which is a word that means arrival. And in this season, we focused on how the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, gives us full, complete, realized hope, peace, joy, and love. And on Christmas Eve, we saw that only in Jesus, the Christ, the rescuer, do we find what true hope, joy, peace, and love actually mean. And we sang songs and we passed around open flames. It was a beautiful evening. Then we blew out the candles, went home and watched the Santa Claus 2, drank some eggnog, opened some gifts, and now here we are on December 29th. So what now? Is there anything left for us to do with the arrival of the rescuer, God with us, once we've already celebrated his arrival? I mean, Walmart and Hobby Lobby already have their Valentine's stuff out. Do we really need to keep remembering Advent after it's over? Well, in the wisdom literature of the Bible, there is an often repeated refrain that we as Christians can easily miss if we aren't careful. And this refrain is to not only hear or celebrate good news, but to ongoingly apply it. And not just apply it, but remember it. Meditate on it, soak in it, let it shape our souls like water shapes a rock. So before we turn the page from Advent and look toward new beginnings in a new year, I want us to turn to what is one of the best passages regarding what it means to trust over time in a way that transforms. So we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 today. And I believe the Bible would have us ask, as we've received Paul's declarations over the past several weeks regarding the significance of the arrival of Christ, have we received his word as only information with celebration, or as the word of God to be tested and proved with ongoing application? I mean, how do we as Christians ensure that the hope, peace, joy, and love that we spent the last 4 weeks celebrating aren't thrown aside like used wrapping paper or taken down and set aside for next year like Christmas lights? How do we make the lessons of Advent last? So Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1, teaches us about teaching that we can trust over time. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. But be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." You know, these verses are helpful because they remind us that trusting and following Jesus is a lifelong pursuit. It's a journey complete with long roads, twists and turns, unseen missteps and reorientations. But they also remind us that if we seek to keep the teaching of the Lord, He is faithful to keep us on the path of remembrance and application. So how do we maintain an ongoing remembrance and application of our hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ beyond the Advent season? Well, the first thing Proverbs tells us about ongoingly applying any of the Lord's teaching is that we must first and foremost follow the Lord. Meaning, if we are to fully learn the truths we discussed during Advent, we must be committed to walk in those truths. Verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." So remember, Paul has told us about the hope and joy and peace and love of Christ in his letters that we read over the past few weeks. But notice, he did so while directing us forward, telling us what to do as a result of what God has done in Christ. When we looked at hope, in Titus 2, 11 through 12, he said, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives." When we looked at peace, in Philippians 4, 9, Paul said, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." When we looked at joy, in Galatians 4, 1 through 6, Paul said that because we are adopted sons and daughters in Christ, we should ongoingly cry out, "Abba, Father." When we looked at love, in Philippians 2, 1 through 2, Paul said, "If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love." So what we see consistent in each of these passages is that Paul reminds the church that the information regarding Christ's advent or arrival means there is something for the church to do. These are not just realities we celebrate at Christmas. They are foundational truths that guide every believer through the Christian life. Paul says, how do you persist in hope? Will you continually renounce ungodliness? How do you persist in peace? You continually practice and live out the gospel life. How do you persist in joy? You continually return to a posture and a place of worship. How do you persist in love? You are continually selfless, humble, sacrificial, and generous. The writer of Proverbs simply states what Paul reiterates in his letters, that the way to remember God's teaching beyond celebration is to live out God's teaching. In his words, to keep my commandments. James 1, 22 through 23 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." So the Bible says if we just hear about the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ at Advent, who just sing the songs and enjoy the season, yet fail to maintain hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ in the ways that Paul directed beyond the season, then we've completely missed the point of Advent. Advent isn't just about an announcement to hear. It's also about commands to follow, a response to make. The arrival of Christ has implications for us beyond Christmas. As Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not just that they may have a quaint little holiday once a year. So the writer of Proverbs, hundreds of years before Christ's arrival, said it in this way, verse 2, for they will bring you many days, a full life, and well-being. Note, Proverbs says that if we want not just a day or season of life in Christ, but many days and a full life in Christ, we must ongoingly seek to keep God's commandments. We must walk according to God's word and his way so we will not just taste hope, joy, peace, and love once a year, but will be fed with them all of our days. But this will not happen for us by default or by accident. To receive the benefits of the Advent season, we must be diligent to apply its truths in every corner of our lives as empowered by God the Spirit through his word. And so how do we do that? Well, the writer tells us, verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. In other words, if we want to apply the hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ to our lives beyond Advent, we will need to vigorously prioritize in our lives, both outwardly and inwardly, what God says about these realities in his word. We must rehearse the truths of God to remember the truths of God. And why? Because as we all know, the world comes at us really fast after Christmas. You know, leading up to December 25th, we can hear even the most worldly artists sing songs about Jesus and his arrival in even the most secular contexts. It's not uncommon to hear, "Oh, Holy Night," or "Joy to the World" on a TV Christmas special, or streaming on a radio station, or over the speakers at Target. But do you know how many secular TV specials or streaming playlists are queued up now by major corporations to celebrate and remember the arrival of Jesus the Christ? Probably zero. The world will not help you ongoingly remember and apply Advent. The world quickly moves on from Advent, and so too will we, unless we are diligent about not only celebrating Christmas, but ongoingly remembering the words of God and applying the realities of God with us. Look, I'm not saying that you have to keep the Christmas tree up or the lights all year. I'm not saying you have to dress like Buddy the Elf in July. I am saying, however, we should take the time to consider, how can I physically and spiritually keep the hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ of Advent before me beyond the season? How can I remember God with us even when we aren't lighting candles each week to celebrate it? How can I remember the servant humility of God the Son in Christ outside of the manger and the swaddling cloths? Well, here the writer says we will remember the teaching by keeping the commandments. Therefore, to ongoingly remember that God has given us true hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ, we must ongoingly follow his commandments to walk in hope, joy, peace, and love in obedience to Christ. To remember God with us, we must live like God is with us. To remember the servant humility of God the Son in Christ, we must serve in humility like God the Son in Christ. We remember the truths of God best when we walk in obedience to God's commands related to those truths. So to apply Advent beyond the season, we must first follow the Lord. The second, verses 5 through 8 show us that to ongoingly apply Advent beyond the season, we must trust the Lord. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." These verses tell us that to apply the truths of Advent beyond the season, we must seek to apply them in full, not in part. So the word here used for trust carries the connotation of lying helplessly face down. It's a full surrender of one's own will and ability and safekeeping to another. This, the writer says, is to be our posture toward God in obeying his commands, in trusting the Lord. Now, the writer contrasts this posture with leaning on our own understanding. Leaning on our own understanding means using our own thoughts and our own ways as a crutch, even as we claim to stand on and celebrate God's thoughts and his ways. So in the case of Advent, it's saying, hey, I'm all in with God for Christmas. I love that holiday way of hope, joy, peace, and love. But when it comes to actually living my life, I'm going to keep a little bit of my own way, just in case. I'll stand on the Word of God, but I won't give it my full weight. I'm still going to lean on my own understanding. Church, this is a fool's posture. It's a fool's practice. There can be no such thing as mostly trusting God. God's word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not even lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. You know, one reason that we lose the spirit or understanding of Advent as the calendar pages turn is that we begin to compartmentalize the arrival of God with us. We think, well, that's fun for Christmas, but what's going to get me through the relational turmoil in March? What's going to keep me sane in September? I need something more than just God in a manger if I'm going to make it through what I face throughout the year, right? And we slowly chip away at the confidence or the security that we celebrated during Advent in finding all we need in Christ alone. We forget that God with us is the soil from which these other things grow. And that whatever the world would offer for our hope, joy, peace, and love, it will not sustain. It will not last. The crutches of this world are cheap substitutes that actually keep us from experiencing the true strength of the solid rock beneath our feet. But oh, how we are tempted to return to them after Advent. Leaving the hope, joy, and peace and love of God in Christ in the Christmas box. So to combat that spiritual erosion, the writer of Proverbs reminds us that the way of God is not only true at Christmas, but it is always true, always illuminated. It's always secure. It is many days and full life of well-being. If we stand secure on Christ, we will have no need of a crutch to lean on. If we walk according to his commands, we will always find our footing sure on him. Now, the writer, however, knows that the voices of this world are going to use very skilled tactics to tell us otherwise. They will say, this is the straight path. This is the full life. Sure doesn't look like it. Sure doesn't feel like it. No, this is not a road where the hope, joy, peace, and love of Christ can sustain. You'll need something more. Our enemy wants us to abandon what we held to during the Advent season the second the road gets tough. And he wants to divert us from God's way. That's why the writer reminds us that God says he will make our paths straight, not easy. Because often what seems to us like a twisting road to God is indeed the straight path. We think, well, God wouldn't want me to not get what I want. God wouldn't want me to go through suffering or trials. God wouldn't want me to do difficult things. So the easy path around the corner where I get the hope, joy, and peace and love I want without ever encountering difficulty. That must be the straight path, right? The problem with that mindset is that when God doesn't then lead us in those ways, our hope and joy and peace and love in Christ begins to fracture. And why? Because the hope and joy and peace and love became for us the ends, the goal, the idol, the mirage, not the fruits of the soil of abiding in Christ over time that God actually promised us in his word. That's when we begin to feel the draw of the voices of this world and even our own pursuits to establish hope, peace, joy, and love for ourselves. Yet, when and if that begins to happen, and we are truly seeking to apply the realities of Advent beyond the season, God will lovingly and continually correct our vision. As he says in verse 7, well, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't assume your direction is right if God has clearly said it is wrong. Rather, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In turning from other presumed sources of hope, joy, peace, and love removed from Christ, that cannot sustain, and diligently watching and keeping our hearts on the way of God's teaching, we will avoid the damage to ourselves and others that comes from our pride and the foolishness of leaning on the feeble things of this world to take the path that we desire. Because listen, the world's way is not the right way. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." No, God's path is always the straight path because it is truly on this path that he is with us. And if we truly seek to apply Advent beyond the season, maintaining our hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ, then no matter what we go through in this world, even if that path leads through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us. And how do we remember that God is with us? We remember Advent. We remember the waiting. We remember the promise. And we remember the fulfillment. We remember God came to be with us. And we remember that God is with us still. So to apply Advent beyond the season, we must follow the Lord. We must trust the Lord. And as verses 9 through 12 tell us, we must honor the Lord. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, church, this is the part of ongoingly applying Advent that is perhaps the most difficult. This is the part of ongoingly applying Advent that tests us to see if we truly do desire real and realized hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ, or if we just liked the ideas during the holiday season. Because how do you know if you're truly seeking hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ alone, not just in Christmas, but in all of life? Well, one way, the writer says, is to look at your bank account. Consider what comes first in your budget. The writer asks, does the way you use your money show that you are trusting in the Lord with all your heart, or that you are also leaning a little bit on your own understanding? Because the writer of Proverbs knows that what we do with our resources shows where we are truly placing our hope, our joy, and our peace, and our love. And if we are securing them fully to God, we will have no issue giving to him first and foremost, joyfully and generously from the things we receive from him in this world. But if we are securing our hope, joy, peace, and love to the things of this world, we will be hesitant to part with even a portion of them, much less our first and finest, because what if? As A.W. Tozer said, pseudo-faith always arranges a way out to serve in case God fails it. Real faith knows only one way and gladly allows itself to be stripped of any second way or makeshift substitutes. For true faith, it is either God or total collapse. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Church, Proverbs tests us, especially when it comes to the things of Advent. It tells us that if we want to develop our hope, our joy, our peace, and love in Christ beyond Advent, we must live our lives and use our possessions as a resounding, ongoing message to the world that God is our sure hope. He is our full peace. He is our overwhelming joy and our unbreakable love. But do you live your life that way? Do you use your wealth and your possessions in that way? And if so, verse 10 explains the outcome. It says, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, this is not to say that if you give to God, then he'll give back to you a ton of possessions. This is not the prosperity gospel. It's saying that the possessions that God gives you will be maximized for his glory and for your good. It's not that your barn will be full because you get tons of grain. No, your barn will be full because you build the right-sized barn for the grain that God gives you. What you have will be full, nothing wasted. And in the end, you will find that by fully trusting God's way, you have even more than you ever thought you needed. Now, that may sound trite, or that may sound easy on the surface, but oh, is it difficult to practice? Because our hearts want to pull away from honoring God, especially in this way. We're fine being generous and giving at Christmas. But all the time? That's a tough candy cane to swallow. That is why our God, our loving Father, is faithful to us as our loving Father to correct, reprove, even discipline us when we seek to wander away from the path of hope, joy, peace, and love in Christ alone. Because God loves us, he will remind us that being a child of God does not mean getting what we want when we want it, but what we need when we need it. And trusting that what we have, if we are obedient with it to God and his word, is everything we need to ongoingly apply Advent beyond the season. We must follow the Lord, we must trust the Lord, and we must honor the Lord with what we have. So as we close out the year and turn the page on the Advent season, we must remember that he is faithful to keep us on the right path of continually finding our hope and joy and peace and love in Christ alone, if we truly want to. But we must remember, as God disciplines us to stay on that path, he will do so by showing us the futility of other things that we would seek instead of him. God may give us a broken body to show ourselves and others that our hope is not in our flesh. God may take away our possessions to show ourselves and others that our peace is not in what we own. God may make the Christian weak to show the world that strength in God is where we find true joy. God may let our hearts break to show that the love of God is all we need. Yet if and when those things happen, we must remember that is not the time to abandon the hope, joy, peace, and love we celebrate at Advent. It's exactly the time to return to them, to remember them, to celebrate them once again, even when the world says it is not the season for such things. So how do we ongoingly apply the hope, joy, peace, and love of Christ beyond Advent? It's by continually remembering God came to be with us. And he came to be with us in December, and he came to be with us in June. And sometimes outside of Christmas, I don't know about you, but I really need to be reminded of that. Sometimes I need to remember God is with me and he came to be with me, just like he said. And when he came to be with me, it looked different than I would have expected. But he came. And he did exactly what he said he would do in the way he planned to do it before the foundation of the world. And I forget that. I need to remember that. You know, celebrating Advent is right. It's true and it's good. But it's not the end. It's not just a season. We must remember that the arrival of God with us also means the continuance of God with us. And if God continues to be with us, then may we seek to continually be with God. Only then will we truly have received the gift of Advent. Let's pray. Oh God, Creator, sustainer, maker of the heavens and the earth, our only hope in life and death, the one who knows us even more intimately than we know ourselves. It is right and it is good that we celebrate your arrival. It's right and it's good that we highlight God with us, and that we take time to focus on the hope that God with us brings us, and the joy that God with us brings us, and the peace that God with us brings us, and the love that God with us brings us. But oh God, I pray that you would help us to remember that these truths extend beyond a season. These are truths that will sustain us, that will guide us, that will lead us, as we seek them according to your word. And God, we know and we recognize it's only by the power of your Spirit that we can walk in these truths. It's only by the grace of Jesus Christ laying down his life as a sacrifice on the cross that we can even desire these things, that we can even come to you unhindered as your children. So God, I pray that you would help us remember. I pray that you would help us to apply. I pray that you would always keep before us that God is with us. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.